Okay. I was thinking about that verse that he just used to close that study. 95, the 95th Psalm, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. God hates sin. But have you realized that the root sin is pride? Really, the root of all sin is pride. I remember when I was a child, we liked to play King of the Mountain. Did you ever play King of the Mountain? And whoever could stay on top of the pile, whatever the pile was, they were the king. Well, pride demands that you, as an individual, be king of the mountain. That is, that you be in charge, that it all is about you. And I'm thinking about that first sin that the Bible records that took place in Genesis chapter 3. Really, it involved the right to be in charge of your own life. That's what Eve did, and that's what Adam did. They, in pride, took charge of their own life. And pride ends when a person stops trying to be king of the mountain of their own life. And real prayer is just a great acknowledgement that you're not in charge. If you really pray, you're saying, I need God. I'm not in charge. He is. And so real prayer is a realization that you're incapable to accomplish the right outcome, but you must be God-dependent. So when you pray, you're desiring to get a hold of God. And as was said in this video tonight, in order to get a hold of God, you have to have humility. He said humility gets God's attention. And you remember that Isaiah 66, verse 2, and that verse that was shared with us, for all these things, God said, mine hand hath made, and all these things have, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that's a humble heart, and trembleth at my word. As he said, humility gets God's attention. And I want to say, because God values humility. You may see humility as a weakness. When people humble themselves, we as human beings think of them as weak. But God actually views humility as a rare treasure that gets his attention. You want to get God's attention in a negative sense, just try being prideful. Because the scripture says that God hates pride. It's one of the seven things that the proverb says God literally hates. But if you want to get God's attention in the right sense, be humble. Because God values humility. I'm thinking about the fact that there was a time in Jesus' life with his disciples when a group of parents brought their children to Jesus, and it says children, but actually the word means infants. These parents bring their little ones to Jesus, and the 12 disciples are bothered by that, and they're actually saying to the parents, Jesus can't be bothered with these little ones. And Jesus knew what was happening, and he said, he rebuked his disciples. And he said, let the little ones come to me. He said, for this is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. So Jesus welcomes little children to him, and he blesses them. And then he goes on in that same passage to present children, these little ones, as the ones that are the true picture of humility. Why are they pictures of humility? Because of their innocence, because they're unassuming, because they trust their parents, because they're helpless, they're dependent. And that's a picture of childhood and humility. So humility gets God's attention because God values humility. And if you are humble, you will find that humility values Scripture. Humility values Scripture. The truly humble person is a person that treasures the Bible, that treasures the Word of God, that realizes that my own human wisdom is insufficient. And I want and I need the mind of God and the blessing of God in my life, that I want God to show me His will, His way. And I don't want to hurt God by ignoring Him and what He says. In fact, the true humble person is a person that wants to avoid hurting God. And so as a result, they hide God's word in their heart as a treasure so that they don't offend Him, so that they don't sin against Him, as the psalmist says in the 119th. But that word really gets your attention in Isaiah 66:2. To this man will I look. I'll pay attention to this person. To who? The person who is poor and contrite in spirit, that is humble, and then pictured as trembling at my word. God values humility, and humility values Scripture. Trembles at my word, that is, lives carefully, fears to go against the word of God. God's not looking for some great ability in our lives. He's not looking for some superior intellect that we might have. He's not looking for some tremendous eloquence that we might be able to come out with. All He is looking for is a heart that is committed to Him and to His word. And that can fit anyone that will humble themselves before Him. So humility gets God's attention. But I want to say something else that humility does. Not only does it get God's attention, it gets God's presence. I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 57, and listen to the 15th verse. Here is what it says. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with who? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So humility not only gets God's attention, humility gets God's presence. You want God's attention, yes, but you want God's presence too, don't you? You want God's presence in your life? There is blessing that is associated with being in God's presence, and humility is what is needed in order to get God's presence. God's presence is described here as a place of reverence. He dwells in the high and holy place because He Himself is holy. And when it talks about God being holy, or the place where He dwells being holy, it's talking about it being not a common place, but an uncommon place, a place that is totally separated from everything else. That is, all that is in God's presence is considered to be holy. And one of the reasons why we so seldom are in the presence of God, I mean where we recognize God's presence, where we realize God's presence in our lives, is because so often we're not there. We're not there in our life. Anyone that I see in the Bible that comes into a recognition of the presence of God bows down before Him, falls down before Him. There's a reverence for God that humility requires. And it's a humbling thing to think that God condescends. By that I mean He humbles Himself in order to dwell with the likes of us. Can you imagine this great holy God wants to dwell with you and I. And to do that, great humility on his part. So humility gets God's presence. God's presence is a place of reverence. But according to this verse, Isaiah 57:15, God's presence is also a place of revival. When you get in God's presence, you experience revival. You know what revival is? It is God renewing your life, the life that he has given you, your spiritual life. Revival is God renewing your spiritual life. And when you get in God's presence, you're in the place of revival. You can't be in the immediate presence of God and not be impacted by it, because he is the life giver. And when you're in the presence of the life giver, his life flows out to you and through you. And to enjoy God's life, you have to get in his presence. And to get in his presence, you have to humble yourself. Because remember, he resists the proud. So you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and you know what you're going to experience? You're going to experience his reviving presence. He is going to lift you up. You're going to experience God's supernatural spiritual lift in your human spirit. And then one third and final thing. God's presence, humility not only gets God's attention and God's presence, but finally, humility gets God's grace. I would have you to turn with me to, in closing, to James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, and beginning in verse 6, we read, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Humility gets God's grace. Pride gets God's resistance, but humility will enjoy God's supernatural strength. That's what grace is, that will give you a spiritual lift in your heart. But notice this, God's grace, humility gets God's grace, and when you get it, God's grace will enable you to submit to him. See that in that seventh verse? God's grace will be given to you through humility so that you'll be able to submit to him. I think that pride is one of the devil's greatest weapons in our spiritual warfare. God wants us to depend upon his grace, but Satan wants us to depend upon ourselves. Satan is the author of the do-it-yourself spiritual project. He owns the DIY spiritual channel, if you will. He wants us to do it our way. But God says, humble yourself, submit yourself to me, and do it my way. In other words, submission to God requires grace. Look at the context here. He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves is the next word. Submission requires God's grace activated in your life. It requires God's special strength to strengthen you to be able to say yes to God and to obey the Lord. Submission to the Lord requires God's grace, and that grace will enable you to unconditionally surrender to the Lord. That's what submission is. And that's the only way to a victorious Christian life. You know, prayer is more than just getting things from God. It's giving yourself to God. Humility gets God's grace. And God's grace enables you to submit to him. But also God's grace will enable you to seek him. I want you to see that in that next verse, 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. All based upon grace. Humility gets you God's grace, and God's grace will enable you to not only submit to him, but also to seek him, to draw near to him. God's not close until we are willing to deal with our sin. That 8th verse continues, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." An outward and an inward cleansing, purifying is required. It's God's grace that does that, though. It is God's grace that enables us to seek Him, that enables us to deal with the sin in our life. And the reason that we seek God is not because we naturally respond to Him that way, but because we are kept from seeking Him by our sinful flesh. And so we need this special strength that God supplies to deal with sin so that we seek the Lord. You know, it's interesting to me, when God tells the Jewish people under Solomon, when Solomon's praying and said, "Lord, if your people turn back to you, will you again look to them? Will you hear their cry? Will you heal this land?" God says He would. God says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Shall humble themselves." I'm telling you, in application, not only to the people of Israel in Solomon's day, but to us today, the greatest roadblock to God's blessing is that we're unwilling to humble ourselves. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." The greatest roadblock to God in your life and mine is our pride. That's why people don't get saved. Even if they know their need, they don't respond to the call of salvation until they humble themselves. And sometimes God has to crush a person in order for them to realize their need is so desperate that they have no other alternative than to humble themselves and call upon Him. Our pride is the roadblock to seeking God. Humility gets God's grace, which will enable you to submit to God and to seek the Lord as well. Ulysses S. Grant, great Civil War general who became also a president of the United States, was invited to a meeting in his honor. And he was going to this reception, and after he got out of his carriage, he walked a certain distance to the place where this reception was to be held in his honor, and it was raining. So he had his umbrella, and he saw another person that was without an umbrella. So he went next to this man and shared his umbrella with him. And they got talking along the way. And this man, who had never seen Ulysses Grant in person, he said to him, not knowing who he was, he said, "You know, I think Grant's a little bit overrated as a person." And Grant replied, "Well, I feel the same way." You know, humility is something that you have to always depend upon God for. I don't have it naturally. Neither do you. I am not a humble person. You know what? I hate to think how many years I've been saved, and yet how much pride is still in my life. You know what's interesting? This message that I've been thinking about and I knew was coming, God's been dealing with me about my own personal pride in this very area. It's amazing. And He's pointed out to me, the Holy Spirit has shown me instances when I've said something and it was pride. And I had to admit it. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And it's a horrible thing. Humility is something that you'll never ought to stop depending upon God for. I'm afraid to pray, "God, make me humble." In a sense, you know what I mean? because I don't want to be crushed. But at the same time, the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So there's a choice that you and I have to make regarding this matter of humility. It's not just foolishly saying, Lord, humble me, but God says, you humble yourself. Of course, you have to depend upon me for that to happen. You take the grace, because I give grace in order for you to submit. You take the grace and humble yourself under my mighty hand. So it's something we always have to depend upon, God's grace to humble ourselves. But it's a choice that we have to make to depend upon God for humbleness, to respond in a humble way to all that happens to us. Does that make sense? Humility. It gets God's attention, it gets God's presence, and it gets God's grace. And that, all of that, is what we need. So our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you are a God of grace. And we certainly don't want you opposing us, resisting us. We need you, Lord. And so tonight, I want to choose to humble myself before you and under your mighty hand. I want to kneel before the Lord, my Maker. I want to acknowledge, Lord, that apart from you, I am nothing and can do nothing. But Lord, I need you, and I thank you that you draw nigh to them that seek to draw nigh to you. I do so tonight, and I trust we do so tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.